How's everyone tonight?
Good.
Got a lot of things to cover. We've got a very short time to cover, so every blessing to you guys. Amanda, how are you? Good to see you. Blessings to you. Just to remind you, we have next week, Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday, Lynn and Sarah Leslie, as well as our brother Jacob. That's going to be a fun time through that week. So come and remember on Saturday, there's a women's session. And that is done by Sarah Leslie. And that will be 9:30 on Saturday. Not this Saturday, next Saturday. I guess I should remind people, this Saturday is Labor of Love. So come and join us. I forgot what time Roy told us. But 8 a.m. sounds like a good time. 9? Be here at 8 so you can be here by 9. So there we go. That will work. Just to get started, a couple of things to remember. The push of socialism in our world is quite amazing. And more we see that our country abides under socialism. And more each day. And this was kind of an interesting thing. We got the Trump collusion, right? Almost dead. Democrats from California are trying to revive it. I do encourage you this. Representative Conway gave, I think, probably one of the best speeches regarding Adam Schiff and, Shifty Eyes is what I call him. Adam Shifty. Have you ever seen his eyes? My goodness. And he gave a very good, clarification of what the Democrats were truly doing, undermining basically the process of the Trump collusion with Russia and all this stuff. And they are demanding Adam Schiff resigns. Now I'm waiting for, I'll sign it. I'll sign it tonight if I need it. But 9 Republican members of the Intelligence Committee signed the letter demanding that Adam Schiff resign. Another guy who's in deep trouble is Mr. Sleaze. Joe Biden. Boy. Now, it used to be a joke like 10 years ago. And it was Sleazy Joe, and nobody thought it was funny. It is not funny, but it's coming out even more now. And this is the crazy part. It's not just ladies. It's children, too. I'm going to come out on a limb because I guess it's not a limb if you know it. There's plenty of evidence regarding Mr. Biden and little children and touching and things like that. It is, I think there's 16 different accounts that you can go and find about Mr. Biden who wants to run for president in 2020. So I don't know if they're going to run him again. But then again, we've seen worst. Just to finish off a couple things about abortion that we've been talking about over the last few weeks. And I think this is, let's do that one first. In abortion, Planned Parenthood, and I guess it's their local doctor or their president, their Dr. Lena Wen. This is the amazing thing about when you deal with abortion and people that are adamant about infanticide, it's almost like there's no light in there. There's no more truth anymore. It's only what they say. And if you agree with them, then you're good. If you don't agree with them, then that calls you all kinds of names. But the Dr. Lena Wen came out and said that she's the president of Planned Parenthood. There is no infanticide in medical care. There is no infanticide in medical care, meaning that we don't kill kids. Obviously saying babies are not kids in the womb. They're not kids. We don't kill kids. It's not infanticide. All the late-term abortions are done for the benefit of the mother. Then you look at the statistics. So what constitutes an emergency? Well, if the mom doesn't want them anymore, that's an emergency. If certain medical things happen to a woman, that's an emergency. But there's already something in place when the life of the baby or the life of the mom are in danger. Anybody know what that is? You probably, maybe ladies had them? No? That's a C-section. It's a cesarean section. That's the emergency procedure. Now they're saying, oh, if it's an emergency, we have to kill the baby to save the mom. What about the C-section? Oh, no, we don't like to doing that. We'd rather, even if the baby is born, then we decide what to do with the baby. It's just evil. It's absolute evil Now, the governor of Mississippi, and may the Lord bless Phil Bryant. I don't know too much about him, but he just signed the bill in Mississippi last week, so 25th, 26th, 27th, where it's called the heartbeat bill. Heartbeat bill. If there is a heartbeat, right around 6 weeks is when they could actually, sometimes sooner, they approximately can detect it. You cannot do an abortion in Mississippi. Legislators sign it. It prohibits abortion after the heartbeat is detected. May the Lord bless Mississippi for the saving of babies and Ohio and other states that have done it. And I am ashamed to say that in our state, I don't see that happening anytime soon. But I got up this morning and I prayed for them. And I pray that God removes wicked leaders, and I pray that God protects good leaders. By the way, they were trying to do this to this movie. They were trying to destroy that movie. I haven't seen it yet. People have told me it's great. Has anyone seen it here? Do you recommend it? All right, I'll take your word for it. And somebody says, oh, that movie was terrible. I go, Susie told me it was great. Now, Rosemary, no, I'm just kidding. They try to destroy the movie. And so sometimes to me it's like, I haven't seen it, but the fact that it got everybody riled up was probably really good. And I heard some really, really good stories. So Twitter, Facebook, social media, they try to shut it down completely if it didn't exist. By the way, more and more people are starting to watch the movie. And not only that, they have broken, I believe, twice the expected box office sales despite the censorship. So it actually, by the grace of God, has backfired. They said, oh, we don't want you to watch the movie. Which movie? Which movie are you talking about? And people went inside by the droves, expected more than twice the expected box office sales. I just looked it up today to see if it was there. It's still there at the Ontario Theater here, at the Rancho Cucamonga one, I believe, but certainly the Ontario one, the local ones. And if it's somewhere in your area, take someone with you. Ms. Rosemary, you had a question. So there was a man that took his son. Praise the Lord for him. Praise the Lord for him. I've heard it was good. I take your word for that it was really good, very touching, and I can't wait to see it, unplanned. It's been coming, it's been in the works for a couple of years. You have a question, young man, that I never met. No, okay. Okay. You raise your hand? No, you're just stretching. Okay, very good. Sorry. Let's continue. Now, Davey sent me this, and I was talking to Davey about this, or at least emailed him. Doctor who claims that she's a Christian, and she performs all kinds of abortions. And ABC ran with it. And ABC said, oh, look at this. See, there's Christians who commit abortion. There's nothing wrong with it. Dr. Carol Portman, I am a Christian. I help women have abortion. And she went on to describe how she reconciles being a born-again Christian, she says. And she says, only God can judge me. So don't tell me anything. Only God can judge me. I guess her and Tupac are the same. Only God can judge her. And when you hear that, you automatically think, that's right, wrong living. It's wrong living. It's wrong living because it's inappropriate behavior. Every time I hear this, it's like, well, I don't have to judge you on something that God has already judged. I don't have to judge you on something God has already judged. Matthew, the book of Matthew chapter 7, speaks of righteous judgment. How else are you going to tell your brother that he's got a speck in his eye, right? How else can you tell him that there's something? Now, we should take the log in our own eye, that's true, but then Jesus says, take it out of your own eye. Then you'll be able to see clear and be able to point out the things that may be wrong in that person's life. Jesus also said to judge with righteous judgment. Judge with righteous judgment. People that love thou shalt not judge, first of all, don't understand the context. Second of all, forget that Jesus did say that you're to judge righteously. Now, how do you judge righteously? Does anyone here know? How do you judge righteously? Yes?
A brother in Christ, you judge the world you don't.
Okay, so you're talking about Christians?
Christians.
Okay.
A brother, you can judge for the wrongdoing of the
Christians. Yes.
The world, that's up to God. That's what
I yeah, think yeah.
Five.
Okay, but what about judging righteously? Yes?
Well, we need to.
Yes.
That this is not righteous.
Correct. How do you judge righteously, though? Amanda, you got to... The word. That's the standard. That's the plumb line. It's not my standard. It's not my judgment. It's the judgment of God. Judgment has already appeared, Jesus said. It's already happening. It's already appeared. And of course, in light of this lady, we can just quote 1 John 3:9-10 that we just read in our first study. No one born of God continues to practice sin, for the seed of God abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he, she has been born of God. I wonder some of these people, sometimes I wonder if they're even born again at all whatsoever, or left it in apostasy state. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has everlasting life, has eternal life abiding in him. This is true of Miss Carol Portman. She does not abide in the truth. She does not abide in Christ. But then she's paraded as this Christian hero. Now, right, correct. He came out from among them. The apostles had Judas, right? Now, it's interesting that a lot of churches are behind abortion. It's a crazy part about it. A lot. Now, I use the term loosely, church, as a building, but not necessarily the people, but there are lots of that that would go and pray in front of Planned Parenthood, and God bless Planned Parenthood. You know, Obama told us that, right? God bless Planned Parenthood, and I'm a Christian. Anyway, I can go on for a while, but you ever heard of Obama's testimony? Have you ever heard how he said he became a Christian? No?
No.
Ah, we should talk about that. Somebody asked him. This is 2007? No, sorry. 2008, 2009, somewhere around there, early on. And he says, when he heard, am I my brother's keeper? Then he says, I become a Christian. Huh. Because they asked him that. So he said, this is how I came to the Lord. It's how, you know, when I heard somebody say, am I my brother's keeper? Now, does anyone know where that verse comes from? It is a verse in the Bible. Who said it? That's all you need to know. Anyway, let's keep going. Cain said it. That's right. Just a few things. I forgot to bring this up at the beginning of it. And this is something that I think as Christians, we need to pray and we need to be aware of the economic downturn in our own country. Now, I believe economically, global economically, it's going to funnel into a system that is going to be ultimately controlled by the beast. Now, I didn't get that from a headline or a book. I got it from the Bible. Ultimately, all is going to be controlled by the beast. American debt, last year, $88 billion had to be borrowed for health care. So for you and I to have health care, the government had to borrow $88 billion to cover it. $88 billion with a B to cover it. That means that it cannot continue to exponentially just grow money and borrow more money every single year. Something's got to give. And of course, anybody can complain about the healthcare. It's so expensive and you don't get the right care. And even if they do cover some things, you never cover fully. There's always something out of pocket and it continues to skyrocket. And it's not changing and it's not going to change any better. And it is unfortunate that the Republicans never did anything about repealing fully Obamacare to the degree that it needed to be changed. And therefore, we're continuing to now spend into infinitum. And you can't spend into infinitum. Something's got to give. $88 billion last year just to cover insurance. I was shocked. I was like, no, it's got to be lies. And I read it again and covered it in a couple of other articles. By the way, the massive destruction in the Midwest through the flooding. It is unbelievable. And it hasn't been covered much. I couldn't find it in many places. And by the way, they're saying, get prepared for more. 2 more months of this in the Midwest. In the Midwest, the price, the price of beef is going to go up. The price of cheese is going to go up. So I guess you can't, everybody be a vegetarian this year. I suppose it's going to be so expensive. Get prepared for 2 more months of this because not only the crops have been destroyed, 1 million acres of U.S. farmland has been destroyed, but as many as 1 million cows, were lost in Nebraska this past month. And we're going to see food prices go through the roof in the next coming months, especially if we get another one coming through. But it's devastating. Nebraska and some of the Midwest towns, unbelievable, unreal. And I just said, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on this country. Then I see things like Planned Parenthood, and I just go, Lord, I don't know how you put up with us. But I just ask the Lord for mercy. Now, moving on to something more specifically dealing with the elections in Israel. Now, the Bible gives one specific place where everything is an epicenter, and that is the nation of Israel, right? The epicenter of prophecy is Israel. Matthew 24, 25, Luke 21, Mark 13, Zechariah 12, all those passages deal with one specific thing. Jesus, in order for Jesus to come back, he has to come back to Israel, has to come back to Jerusalem. It's going to be the epicenter of prophecy. Jesus even said, before they even asked him the question, what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, those who stone the prophets, kill those who are sent to you. How much would I wanted to gather you like a hen gathers his chicks, but you were not willing. Therefore, your house will be death to you, desolate. Right? They will embark you on every side and bank you on every side and destroy you, and you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Then he gave us the signs of his coming. So it always starts with Israel. It's the epicenter. Some people call it the time clock, whatever. You can see that it's the epicenter. But specifically, it's Jerusalem. Now, we have an election coming to Israel on April 9th. A very important election because I believe with all the talks at the temple, we'll talk about that in a minute, it is pointing to the next leadership movement. It's going to be having to deal with one specific thing. What do we do with the Temple Mount? What do we do with the temple? And what do we do with the insurgents of Jews who want to restore temple sacrifices? And they have the Temple Institute and all these things. They're going to have to deal with this. It's going to be a hot topic. Now, one of the things that have happened is Netanyahu has... who knows if he's going to be reelected or not. But one thing specifically true, that he is tied into Trump and to his deal of the century, peace plan, whatever you want to call it. His reelection could be tied into that. And it's very real because if he's ousted next week, Trump's going to have to deal with a whole new set of leaders. If he's not ousted next week, corruption charges and all that stuff, if it's proven to be true, and he's not elected, then, or he is elected, I should say, despite all this, then I think it can continue to a certain degree. But no, more or less, Trump has done something this past week that I think it's going to begin a countdown to the area of Damascus. When Trump recognized the sovereignty of the Golan Heights for Israel, immediately Syria said, we're going to put missiles at the border, and we're going to start taking this land by force. Because the U.S. said, declaration of Senate, as well as Trump, that the Golan Heights belong to Israel. Now, I've had some emails from people that would be Christians. Oh, how can you support Israel? This is not their land, etc., etc. Does anyone know, in the Bible, the Golan Heights? Why were they called in the Bible? Does anyone know here? In the Bible, if you read your Old Testament, yes, you said it. Bashan. It's the ancient land of Bashan. Did that belong to Israel? Absolutely, without a doubt. Because there are so many, unfortunately, within the Christian church who bought into replacement theology and say, oh, Israel has nothing to do with the land, etc., etc. But I ask them, well, where's the Golan Heights? What place does it have in the Old Testament? They don't know. It's the ancient land of Bashan. It's where Mount Hermon is, near Mount Hermon. It's Israel. There's no doubt it's Israel. Syria says it's theirs. Russia says it's Syria. And the EU rejected Trump's order. And they don't recognize the Golan Heights. So what they've done is really created now an area that is explosive. An area that is explosive. And I don't have to zoom it in. Right above the little area of the Golan Heights, the ancient land of Bashan, it's a city, a large city, where Syria says, we're going to put our weapons there. Iran's going to put their weapons there. Russia's going to march in and defend that area. And it's called Damascus. And Damascus could be a very troubled spot over the next few months, years, however long it takes. But I think we've headed down the direction where it's pretty clear that this is going to be the next shoe to drop in some way or another, the Golan Heights. Syria tells the UN that they are going to by force, I have no choice, by force, to annex it back to Syria. Now, this area was a buffer zone. Jews lived there, Syrians lived there. Now, it's, according to the U.S., it's Israel. According to the EU and the UN, no, it's still a buffer zone. According to Russia, it's Syria. Now, what's under this area of Bashan that people are so desiring it? Ah, Frank, you're too smart. How much oil? Anyone want to take a guess? Let's give a number. It's not in billions. It's in trillions. $6 trillion of oil and natural gas under that little area. You think there's a big reason why? There's a big fight about it? Yeah, I think so. Underground reserves. What's that? Well, it wasn't just a move, right? It wasn't like, you know, it is a beautiful area there, by the way. I've shown you pictures of it. And Mount Hermon is a beautiful area where you can ski if you like skiing there. It's right next to Syria. Might be a little scary to ski there, but at the same time, who needs the money? Syria does. They have to reconstruct their whole country. And of course, they are very upset, and Russia is very upset, because who led the civil war in Syria? Who started? Who primed it all? That's right. It was Obama's administration who primed it all. 7 years of hell in Syria, which I believe in many ways fulfilled prophecy, pushing it to this point, driving Christians out of that area. Many persecutions, unfortunately. But Russia wants to develop a gas reserve. So this is a complete turn of events where I believe Gog and Magog and even the Damascus scenario of Isaiah 17 can take place. It's laying down the groundwork. Israel has a problem in Gaza. Israel's not going to have a big problem in the Golan Heights. See, by giving Israel the Golan Heights as their land, it puts Iran and Syria and Russia right at the border of Israel. Good or bad, it's going to happen. Good or bad, it puts them right at the border of Israel, and now they can say, we need to take over this land. So it would have to be an invasion for the Golan Heights to go back to Syria or to go back to what it used to be. It now has to require an invasion of Israel, which the prophets foresaw so long ago, that will come from the north. And make no mistake about it, just because they're there doesn't mean they can't keep going south. And that's where the trouble is. And I believe, in a very real way, Israel's not going to let it go. So I think it'll begin to create a domino where Israel has to retaliate, just like they did in Gaza this week. And then, of course, I think you see other countries getting in the fray, like China, like the EU. Of course, we'll be involved in this, but it's an amazing thing what is happening in Gaza, as well as the northern part of Israel. More shooting. In fact, IDF shot more terrorists sneaking into Israel with weapons just today alone. And I was going to bring, and I encourage you to do this, I was going to bring it, but I couldn't find it without a 7-minute or 8-minute clip of Mike Pompeo being interviewed. Did anyone see it? Anyone see it? No? Does anyone really want to see it? No? Okay. you should watch it. It is fascinating. The questions that they asked him. Barbara, you heard about that one, right? Yeah. It is very interesting. Mike Pompeo believes he's a Christian, and I believe he knows prophecy. I believe he knows what he's talking about. I mean, this is a guy who talked to the Army or the Air Force, I think it was the Air Force, about the rapture. It's quite fascinating. Mike Pompeo, fascinating character. And he's Secretary of State. He's a Christian. And he's like, it's exciting. And they asked him the question, do you think Trump's being used by God? And he says, a Christian? Yeah. To defend Israel? I mean, he's like, we're living in the times where we're defending the place where Jesus was born, where Jesus lived, and Jesus was there with the apostles of faith of Christianity. And he goes down to the synagogue with Netanyahu and the ambassador. And you got to go watch it. Just watch it. It's about 7 minutes. You can find longer clips. But Mike Pompeo sent from Trump, used by God, to help the Jewish people. And, of course, it was right around the time of Purim. So everybody's like, oh, this is Esther, Mordecai, whatever. I don't know. But the fascinating thing is that they are discussing things like this, in a very biblical way, things that are happening in the world, they're being discussed in the light of biblical prophecy. So, for someone to say, oh, it has nothing to do with anything, why do we even talk about this? It's to say, hey, we're not even talking about it. They are. People that are in the melee, people that are in the fray, are saying, this is biblical. This is happening right now in your own eyes, in your own time. And Israel is in the center, at the center of all this. By the way, Jordan says to the U.S., don't get involved in the temple. Don't get involved in the temple. Now, this battle has been happening for a month already, I believe, about a month and a half now, where at the Golden Gate, the Muslims want to go and keep praying, and the Jews have access to it, and they don't want to let the Muslims in, because when they go in, it's a disaster. They riot, they want to burn things, and so the Golden Gate has been closed off. Up to a certain point, the Temple Mount has not been allowed, the Muslims have not been allowed to go to the Temple Mount, and the Temple Mount is controlled by Jordan, King Abdullah. The U.S. said, hey, let us mediate this, let us deal with it. They said, no, we don't want you to deal with it. The Jordanians explained they could not trust America anymore. Why? Because you have a plan. You have a deal of the century in the wings, and this might be part of it, that you might give control of the Temple Mount to the Jewish people. So we're not going to give up control. So we can't function, American can't function as a go-between concerning Jerusalem, says the Jordanians. They just don't trust what America is going to do. By the way, it's getting really interesting within the Temple Mount. Imagine prophecy like a telescope, when you have the wider view, but then you begin to narrow the view, and you get this pinpoint accuracy, the temple. The temple is ultimately the timeline, I believe, of prophetic events. And what I mean by it is we know where the 3.5 year mark is from Daniel 9, where that 3.5 year mark is, the 42 months, 1,260 days, all the good numbers that you guys remember so well. We know what the mark is. The middle point is the abomination of desolation. Where does it take place? In the temple. It's not a mystical thing. It's not a spiritual thing. I mean, it happens spiritually, of course, already. You know, the abomination of desolation is the worship of Antichrist, right? The worship of Antichrist as God in the place of God, in the place of Jesus. That, spiritually, it's already happening in people's hearts. Right? The spirit of Antichrist is replacing the love of Jesus in people's hearts. And it's coming in, and it's just going to be a formality. When the man of sin shows up and people worship him, it is going to only be a formality because it's already happening in the attitude of their hearts. The Antichrist is prepping people. The spirit of Antichrist is prepping people for that. The temple becomes like the moment, the crescendo, the watershed moment. At that 3.5 year mark, the man of sin, the lawless one, goes into the temple just like Antiochus, just like Pompeii. It's going to be a place of worship for God, they say, and he will be worshipped in the temple of God. The ultimate abomination, where God is to be worshipped, the Holy of Holies, it's going to be a man, and not just a man, it's going to be the devil in a man, the diabolically possessing a man and being worshipped. What does it have to do with this? Well, as the Bible hones in on Bible prophecy and says, this is the temple, this is the place where it's going to happen, you'll know, just like Jesus said, then there will be the abomination of desolation that Daniel the prophet spoke. When you see this, get out of Jerusalem, get out of Judea, don't go back, get your clothes. This will be, Jesus said, the great tribulation. Quoting Jesus, this will be the great tribulation. Jesus said it, not a book. Jesus said that will be the great tribulation because it will be unlike anything that has ever happened before, quoting from Daniel. What's going to happen at that moment? A temple will be erected. And the man of sin will come in. Meet Moshe Feeling. I think I introduced you guys to him before. Moshe Feeling is the head of the Zahut party in Israel. And they're about to have 7 seats in the Knesset. What is one of the main things he wants to promote? Well, besides free weed, cannabis, legalizing cannabis. Aside from that, which got all the young people really excited, I don't know why, He says, recreational marijuana should be allowed everywhere. Just expect it to pass, they say. Well, he also says that's one of them. But you know, the biggest one is this, and that's why he's a rock star within the election, is the fact he says he wants to build a third temple right away. He wants to build a third temple right away. He's a very messianic, not Jesus messianic, messianic in a sense of hope. You know, we need the temple. The Messiah is going to come. He's a messianic like ideals. And he says the best way for our nation to fulfill the hope is to have the temple rebuilt. He says, I don't want to rebuild it in 3 years and 4 years. He says, I want to rebuild it right away. And he is going to have, head of the one of the parties, he's going to have 7 seats in the Knesset. I know it's weird in our own nation. We have Democrat, Republican. In Israel, they have like 100 of them. 100 parties. And they all have to occupy a seat in the Knesset. And they'll have to vote for the guy. You know, they can vote for Benjamin Netanyahu, they can vote for the other guy. And then whoever has the most votes, they win. And it's sometimes it's like a coalition, like Benjamin Netanyahu will get like 3 parties to back him up, and they got most of the seats, so he wins. They don't even agree on anything. That's why we got to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that they will be united in Christ. They'll be united in the Messiah. That's how we pray for the Jews, that they will come to the unity, because there's no unity even within the Jewish people. But he says that this election is going to really not only bring about this guy, but he says, I want to have Israel control the Temple Mount. I want to build a temple not in 2 years. I want to build it now. He said this in Tel Aviv not too long ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago. Such a move, it says, will be unrealistic and extreme. But it says, this is something that we need to do, where Jews can currently visit, but they cannot pray. We need to have more control over that area. So you have a party that is extreme in right wings, they call them extreme right wing, who is all, the whole basis of this is to have a temple. Now, how about that? In the past, you've had secular Jews who said, forget it. We're just interested in money and survival, right? And they got the whole Silicon Valley in Tel Aviv and all that stuff. It's the equivalent of Silicon Valley. That's all they cared about. You have political leaders now who are saying, our whole platform is built on rebuilding the temple. Right-wing extremists, they call them, but they say, this is important for the nation. Now, if they have enough sway, now this is the interesting part about the article. It says, with their votes, they could be the next kingmaker. What I mean by that is, they could be the swing, the deciding vote, the hinge on who wins. Either it's going to be Netanyahu or the other guy, I forget his name right now. Benny Gantz. Benny Gantz is the other guy who could win. They could swing it for Benny, or they can swing it for Bibi. But it's going to be one of these parties that's going to do it. Now, by the way, where the Pope signed this silly deal, where he affirmed the right of all the faith to protect the rights. He signed it with the Moroccan king. You remember that? He signed this special care for Jerusalem, he says. By the way, in what they sign, it's this interesting phrase. He says, it is our hope that in the holy city, full freedom of access to the followers of the three monotheistic religions and their right to worship will be guaranteed. This is in their statement that they wrote about faith with the Moroccan king, King Mohammed. The Pope and King Mohammed signed this statement about protecting the faith, and all three faiths are all voted the same, you know, the whole ecumenical stuff. But in the document, guaranteeing access to all three faith, to the right to worship in Jerusalem, he says, Al-Quds al-Sharif, which is what they call Jerusalem, that they may rise to prayers to God the Creator for a future peace and fraternity on earth. Now, I've seen people have questioned it. Is this something that the Pope is already involved in trying to get the three faith up there? Well, they've been doing it for a long time. But the reality is that they know that whatever peace agreement is going to come with a religious peace to it. It's going to come with a religious component to it. It's not just going to be a political thing. This peace is going to come with some religious and political thing. Of course, Trump has been called out to make sure that the deterrent of China becomes a real thing. The U.S. has been warned that China is all over Taiwan. They've been flying some jets over Taiwan. China has sent even more troops to Venezuela, even though they denied it. by the way they've denied it, but I don't think those guys look like Venezuelans. I don't think they look like Irish either. I think they look Chinese, and they do have some of the Chinese military uniforms. So China's in Venezuela, China's in, against Taiwan, and of course the big fish here is what China's doing in Europe. Because Europe is falling apart, because Europe is not has left the Judeo-Christian foundation that they have, they're in disarray. They cannot keep the European Union together. Guess who's coming in to pick up the pieces? Mr. China, Xi Jinping. And he's building a new Silk Road, he says. Guess where it's going to? Italy. Italy. The new Silk Road, he says. It'll be great for everyone. And of course, I believe this is part of the kings of the East in the book of Revelation. Coming, coming, coming. And of course, what they really want to do, and this is part of why England is so screwed up at this point, is the Brexit mess that they've made. But one of the things that they warned about, and we don't talk too much about it, is the way China is controlling the internet. By far the most surveillance, the most invasive monitor of the internet that is coming to you and to me. It's coming very, very drastic. Even the Facebook with CEO Zuckerberg even talked about we need to follow other countries' lead on how we monitor the internet. AKA China does a good job monitoring the internet. How does China monitor the internet? They censor it, they cut you off, they come get you in a black van and take you away for a long time to teach you new things. That's how they do it. And I said, that would be a good idea. Now, if they're already censoring, for the most part, conservatives at this point, what is going to make them stop there? By the way, NATO is getting ready against China and against Russia. And one of the things that's interesting is NATO credits Trump for revitalizing NATO. Now, NATO is basically the arm, it's a coalition of countries that are there to defend Europe. This is done against Russia, but interesting more now China. But it was done after World War II to fight against communism. And of course, now the big player is Turkey, part of NATO, but also very friendly with Russia. And they're giving them a deadline. It says, you need to stop buying stuff from Russia if you're going to be part of NATO. So more to that to come, because I do believe that NATO is going to play a role and try to defend Europe against the invasion of Israel and the invasion of Russia and of China, I believe. At the same time, just to finish off some things, earthquakes, everywhere in earthquakes. And what's fascinating is what there's always been, so they say, people say, well, Jesus warned about earthquakes in so many different ways. He says that there'll be more, there'll be more frequent. The one in Alaska that was 6.5 triggers some tsunami warnings. Nothing happened. Praise the Lord. I don't think many people knew about it, but there were tsunami warnings all up and down the West Coast. Some of the tsunami warning mechanism weren't even working on the West Coast, so we could have had a disaster. Nobody would have known about it. And this is the one that was more interesting. In Poland, they had a 6.5 earthquake. I'm sorry, not a 6.5. I think it was 4.6. What was interesting, it was so deep, it was the deepest earthquake ever recorded. And scientists were saying, you can't have an earthquake that deep. It's impossible. Why? Because if you have it so deep, the earth is pretty liquid down there. There's no rock. You can't really have an earthquake down there. You can't measure it. You don't even know what the earth, what the ramifications could be, because it's really just liquid. It's so hot, it's liquid. There's no rock in the middle. But then that report disappeared. Now, this is the interesting part. It disappeared because seismologists said, it was not an earthquake. But then they came out and said, it was really an earthquake, but we just never measured it that low in the ground. So what does that mean? Well, it could mean two things. I don't know anything about earthquakes. Or two, the center of the earth, or what they call the molten core, which is that red area right there, at the very deep, deep part of the earth, it's getting smaller and cooler. So what does that mean? It means that all the heat that's coming into the oceans and into the waters on the surface, and it's creating havoc on the environment, Now, I'm not talking about Green Deal or anything like that. We're talking about really natural disasters waiting to happen because the waters are getting warmer. And if you had hot water and cool temperatures, it creates a disaster. And you might be able to see some atmospheric changes in temperature so drastic that it could lead to disasters in different parts of the world. And by the way, it messes with the magnetic field of the earth. And the magnetic field of the earth protects us against the sun. So they say sunburns can start going up, 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 and up. People can start getting burned by the sun because there's no magnetic field protecting us. They say this is really bad news. Now, it's interesting that in the Bible, there is a passage in Scripture talking about those who receive the mark, that they will be scorched by the earth, by the sun. They'll be scorched by the sun. And everybody keeps talking about, you know, depletion of the ozone layer and things like that. I used to read this a long time ago. But the reality of it is that the magnetic field of the earth is getting smaller and weaker. And you could see some of these earthquakes increasing, some of the changes in temperature, not man-made global warming. We're talking about birth pangs by the earth, just like Paul said, just like Jesus said. By the way, the largest volcano in Mexico, it's ready to erupt. It's right by Mexico City. It's been blowing off smoke for about a couple of weeks already. And nobody knows exactly what's going to happen, but it's creating all these little earthquakes. They've said that if it goes off, it could be a disaster in those areas. So we're looking at earthquakes. We're looking at things that Jesus spoke about very directly. As we finish with what's going to happen in America, Jewish author and a very good author, he's a Jewish guy, David Horowitz. David Horowitz said something interesting, and you should read his article. It says, the war on Christianity is very real. And he says, Christians face a very dangerous time in America. Now, here's a Jewish guy. He's not a Christian. Right? Not a Christian. He says, based on everything that we see, this is a very dangerous time for Christians. Now, he's warning Christians. Now, when was the last time you saw a Christian author tell you that this is happening? Usually they say, you know, the best life now or something great's going to happen. Revival's going to break out throughout the world. He's a Jewish guy. Another guy who warned about it a couple of years ago was Michael Savage, who is a Jewish guy, who said, you know what? Unless Christianity revives in America, we have no chance. Unless Christianity revives in America, we have no chance. And David Horowitz says, look, this is his own words. The war on Christianity is real, but many Christians don't even know they're in a war. Many Christians don't even realize that what the Democratic Party and the Liberal Party have been doing, it's leading to a persecution of Christians, a real persecution of Christians. Now, is it really happening? Well, this is in San Antonio, Texas. San Antonio, Texas. The Attorney General actually had to investigate because San Antonio City Council does not allow Chick-fil-A's, or at least ban them from certain areas as vendors, as putting participating in airports and restaurants because of one reason. Yeah, it's not because they're part of CARE or the Muslim Brotherhood or anything like that. It's because they're Christians. Now, even so, the Attorney General of Texas had to investigate. They're still doing it. They're still investigating because it's such a real thing and nobody really pays attention to it because in Texas, it's football, right? Because Christians are so obsessed with all other things except what is really happening. By the way, another thing that we don't really notice, and this is what David Horowitz was talking about, is the LGBT community, transgender community, and the pedophilia community are joining together. The pedophiles demand to be included in LGBT. They want to be included because they say, we are minor attracted people. That's all we are. We're minor attracted people. MAP, minor attracted people, MAP. So don't see us as bad, we're just minor attracted. We like kids, that's all it is. We don't show any harm to anybody, and they want to be included in the LGBT. They keep adding LGBT. If you ever watched a Twitter interview with the CEO, Jack Dorsey, he does an interview where he just talks about LGBT, and he goes on and on about all these people that he wants to protect. Not one of them is a Christian, by the way. And pedophilia says, we're not a risk for kids. We're just growing up as pedophiles. I'm anti-contact, a pedophile says. I'm anti-contact. I just love kids. MAP, minor attracted persons. The transgender flags all over Capitol Hill. This is the transgender flag. Get used to it. It's going to be flying all over the place. California, from New York to California. Transgender flag basically saying, we stand with the transgender community, said Capitol Hill House Representatives. 238 members, so you know where they stand. By the way, in Brunei, this is a Muslim country. They are going to start implementing Sharia law. And that's one of the things that they're going to do. They're going to start executing homosexuals. Who's one of their best friends of the Sultan of Brunei? Barack Hussein Obama, who was so for LGBT. Man, he was. But have you heard him say anything about Sharia law and gays being attacked and stoned and killed in Brunei? Nope. Why? Because they don't really care about homosexuals. They really don't. They just serve a purpose for their own desire to destroy Christianity. That's all it is. And I feel for them. I feel for the homosexual community. I don't agree with them in any way whatsoever, their sin. But they're people that need the Lord. They're people that need to be saved. And they're just being used. And I say that with tremendous compassion because Hitler did the same thing. And just to prove it to you, they don't care about it. They don't care less about transgender people. They know it's not natural. They know it's not true. But it serves a purpose. By the way, in Pennsylvania, they had the first General Assembly in Pennsylvania with a Muslim woman. Muslim woman was elected to the Pennsylvania General Assembly. And first day on the job, she attacked Christians. Now, let's hear what she said, and then I'll play another video then.
To the house to make friends on both sides of the aisle because we need to work together for everyone in the Commonwealth. And I think it's really important, my visual here in the house, because I represent a constituency in the Commonwealth, correct? So we need to make sure that we are providing more inclusion as opposed to being divisive. I do not have a problem with religion. I do not have a problem with choice. I do not have a problem with Jesus. I have a problem with using religion as a weapon. That prayer in the beginning is meant to be inclusive and to bring everyone together. We as Republican and Democrat can find many, many things to fight about. Prayer should not be one of them. There should definitely be censure. There should definitely be censure because we need to be promoting inclusion, not division.
Huh. So what is she all complaining about? What is her first day on the job? What is she all worked up about? Well, because somebody prayed. Now, I do have the prayer. Has anyone seen it? That was a magnificent prayer. Man, this lady should invite her to pray for us here. Oh, sorry.
Representative Borowitz.
That's too loud.
Thank you, Speaker. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for this privilege,
Lord, of letting me pray, God, that I, Jesus, am your ambassador here today, standing here representing you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords.
God, I pray for our leaders, Speaker Terzai, Leader Cutler, Governor Wolf, President Trump. Lord, thank you that he stands beside Israel unequivocally, Lord. Thank you that Jesus, that we're blessed because we stand by Israel and we ask for the peace of Jerusalem as your word says, God. We ask that we not be overcome by evil and that we overcome evil with good in this land once again. I claim all these things in the powerful, mighty name of Jesus, the one who, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, Jesus, that you are Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow. Come on, we just get to know with this. But you hear somebody just like, somebody was upset within the council because she mentioned that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue will confess that he's the Lord. Somebody began to get flipped out on that and they had to end the prayer very quickly. Motiva Johnson Harrell, that's the Muslim lady there, was so offended. She says, so upset because I'm the first Muslim here and I don't like these prayers and you heard her. We should censor them. How dare they speak in Jesus' name? I don't have anything to go with Jesus, but you shouldn't pray in his name. Like any false religion, they love your faith and my faith to be very privatized. Keep it within these walls. Keep it safe. Keep it in your home. You bring it out to the world, and it's a fight. And Ms. Motiva Johnson is definitely coming against Christians in the state representative and in Pennsylvania. And this, of course, has to do with, she calls it Islamophobia. They're praying in Jesus' name into Islamophobia. Now, how long is it going to take for you and I, for us to pray in Jesus' name, will be called Islamophobia? It's already happening. Yeah, it's already happening. I mean, how many of us would be called out for prayer, say those prayers, and be said, you're an Islamophobe. You are against Muslim people because you pray in Jesus' name. Well, I guess I'll pray in Jesus' name. We'll keep praying in Jesus'
Representative.
Name. By the way, Ireland has their first cyborg. Men in Cork, I know where Cork is. We worked with the church at one time in that area, has a microchip implanted. And he says, I love this. I can get into anywhere in my house, my car, my office. I don't need a key. I don't need a wallet. It is simple. It is so good. And it's, again, one of those countries like Germany, like England, like Sweden, like Switzerland, who is inviting this biohacking and microchipping. Now, I want to finish with this because this is the last article that I'm going to do because I'm going to ask you a question. What do microchip has to do with the mark of the beast? This is an article that came out. Are Christians making a big deal about microchipping and biohacking and people having RFID technology inserted in their bodies, right hand, or what Neuralink want to do with what's that guy's name from SpaceX? Elon Musk. He wants to put it in your frontal cortex, so it's in front of your head. He loves doing that, by the way. That's the preferable place that they love to have Neuralinks, a chip in your front of your head or your right hand. And I showed you a video of that guy in Barcelona who was so excited. He put a chip in his hand. And he was like, yes, I can do whatever I want, get to whatever I want. And of course, find out later, a lot of people are doing it to get into like porn sites and all this stuff because it's easy to, you know, hey, so it's all there. I don't need to log in passwords and stuff like that. It becomes, of course, degrading and immorality. But what do microchips have to do with the mark of the beast? Are Christians making a big deal? 15 years ago, Christians began to say and warn linking RFID to a possible scenario where the mark of the beast can be implanted. The more people biohack, this RFID technology becomes more and more possible, they say. And they said, Christians say, are urging employees to read your Bible or begin to tell people that this is the first sign of the mark of the beast. It's more than a curiosity, they said. Evangelical Christians have linked RFID to the end times. And because Christians have a voice, at least till now in America, most people probably don't agree that RFID represents the mark of the beast, but they do raise an interesting question about the merging of human bodies and computing. The religious fear that every person might need to be physically tagged to pay for things and move freely freely shares a lot with concerns expressed by more mainstream privacy advocates. So at the end of the articles, they say, well, I don't know. Maybe Christians are making a big deal about it. It's not really the mark of the beast, so who cares? Christians should not make a big deal about it. Although it does give some credibility to say, hey, maybe they have a point. So the article was sort of in between. They didn't give you exact one side or the other. Question for you, because this is, it's going to come up, and it's going to come up faster than you can blink. Does it really matter if people are biohacking, implanting chips, forehead, hand? Who cares, right? It's not the mark of the beast, so why even talk about it? You saying it's preparing? Brother Anthony? Preparing? Yeah. Do you know there's some churches who will say, who cares? Chip yourself. Do it. It's not a big deal. If the whole U.S. started chipping, you know, for protection and things like that. Now, I agree. I don't believe presently constructed it is the mark of the beast. So does it really matter? I do believe it matters. It matters greatly. I think people are preconditioned for this, desensitizing for this. But also, who's to say that one of those things will not be used? Presently constructed, I don't think it is. But couldn't it be used right away in a matter of emergency, you know, national emergency, to control you, to surveillance you, to literally privatize you, to say, you can't do anything unless you have this. And isn't it setting down the road for this? Now, what do you think of somebody that would say, just get it, don't worry about it? I think they're just doing a horrible service to Christians. I don't mean service like they're serving in a sense of, doing something for you, but I think they're the really minimizing what I think the Bible is very, very clear And it's a dangerous ground to be in, especially for young Christians to say, ah, don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. Bobby.
I think it may be unsafe. It's impossible to know.
Yeah.
We might not want to cancel it out from being possibly the month.
Okay, so just for the recording, I'll just repeat what I said. No problems. I could just... No. So people can hear it because sometimes I get emails saying, we didn't hear anything. And so I just want to be fair. What you're saying is that chip or that RFID technology can change you. Just like the Holy Spirit who seals us changes our way of thinking and behavior. This can change the way we think and the idea of wanting to be God and being in control. It gives us more, how would you say, more credibility for that or more puts us on the path to that a lot more quickly. That's right. Once the mark of the beast, it's a done deal. Frank?
I think it's preparation for control.
Preparation for control? Yeah, definitely. That's right. Hitler did it. Yeah. You could already see one of these states like China. They already have that kind of control. You could already see what they're doing to their citizens and what they will do. Correct. That's right. Yeah, ultimately about worship. And it'll be ultimately about worship of this man. But if you're preconditioned to depend on the state or depend on the world or depend on whatever, that is setting the stage where literally, I believe the mark will just be a formality. You already have it in the attitude of your heart. It will just simply be a mark that you already taken it in your heart. Yes. Rosemary. I don't doubt that they, I think the U.S. is preparing for some kind of tracking mechanism. Look, China's doing it. Venezuela's going to do it. They already have it in some form. Europe wants to do it, and France. So it is not an isolated event. They're definitely pushing this idea of chipping, control, RFID, surveillance. I didn't talk about half the other stuff because it would have taken a longer time. But, Frank, you had something to say?
Yeah, I think
it's a good point. About uncontrolled immigration, just to bring a real control. Yeah, very good point. I just wanted to bring it out, and we'll keep talking about it because it's not in. It's not going to end here. You will hear it more and more from churches. You will hear it more and more from pastors. You will come. You'll be challenged by this because I guarantee you there'll be some pretty big names that are going to come out and say, "Hey, don't worry about it. Just take it." It's not the mark. What's the big deal? And I wanted to bring it up to you guys because you guys know more than a lot of people in terms of what you know, what you learn, what you study. And this is going to be a challenge to Christians. At what point do we say, nah, I don't want to go there when it comes to technology and surveillance and things like that? I mean, you already let him in, let surveillance in quite a bit through this and through that and, guilty of it. Yeah. As it get, I got to finish. Maybe we'll take it offline. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your grace that you've given us, your Holy Spirit that always points to Jesus, always points to the Savior, our Lord. And Lord, as we heard in the previous study, that we're going to see you face to face. This is coming. But John also warned that the Antichrist is coming, and many Antichrists have already gone into the world. By this we know. This is the last hour, Lord, but we're told to abide and to keep and to maintain our purity and holiness in this world. Please, Lord, abide with us. Help us, Jesus. Help us not to trust in this world. Help us not to trust or love this world or the things of the world and what the world can offer us, Lord. We're to be in and out of it, Lord, but I praise you that you maintain us, Lord, and you feed us and you take care of us, and you'll continue to do that. And so, Lord, I praise you. I pray that as we talk about these things, we become bold in our speech to share the gospel and warn people about the dangers that the Bible clearly speaks about. Jesus, I pray that as people hear our message and our videos and the word that comes out of our mouth, they would repent and believe and become born again. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.